When you make a name for yourself and it's off your own back, it gives you so much pride that you're doing this all on your own. No one's giving you any link-ups or nothing. You're doing this all by yourself. Mm. And if you can do that, and then you're making, you know, you become a bit infamous. You're making a name for yourself, like literally. Mm. There's that sense that, and that's the drive that got me.
KellerKellerOfficial.com. You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast live and direct, Central London. Very much Central London. Central London we would normally be. We are in Camden on the High Street, neck of the woods. Not too far away from my humble abode, but far enough for you guys to get the woozes. You know what I mean? It's declimatizing to a new place is always hard. So it's a camera on now. We are in the mecca of what is arguably the mecca of graffiti in London at the moment. It is the Camden Open Air Gallery, aka Camdemonium. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. Hold tight, everyone's got the Kellervision app inside the place. We have the man like Finn. Hold tight, Finn.
Welcome.
We got PIC inside the
Easy.
Place. And we have Seika, DDS. Boom. BFB, come on.
One time.
Without question, as you can see, it's going to be Prime Minister's question time over here with the amount of microphones we've got. But I tell you what a place we're in now. Explain yourself, Finn. What's going on?
So this is Camden Open Air Gallery, little project we started back in February. We've got shutters on at the minute, trying to tell the story of graff from London, old school, bringing it all the way up to people who are currently up. Sat here with Camdemonium boys, who kind of got me going. Got a lot of respect for them, got a lot of time for them. They go right back. We've got Seika here, first artist who got in touch. Got PIC, I think it's number 5.
Yeah, he dragged me in, this one. It's all his fault.
So all in all, it was almost like you were running as fast as you could with pushing the car as it went, and then the lads, do you kind of discover this as it happened?
Well, I got a random message on Facebook about someone looking for artists, graffiti artists, street artists to do shutters in Camden. Yeah. I was a bit pissed off, come back from painting and decorating. I don't normally make these phone calls, but for some reason I made the phone call. I spoke to Finn and he said, I want to give you a load of paint to paint a shutter on Camden High Street. And I was like, double take. What?
The fuck?
Yeah. And so I knew he was serious when he got the paint in. And then, I mean, I was just like, share the love, you know, spoke to Hito, other writers and stuff, Mel, so we did the shutters, and then from that it's kind of, you know, from doing the original, that was Finn's idea. I mean, he was looking out his window, saw the bombed up
and he wanted shutters. More
it was also during lockdown, so all the shutters were down, and it was just I love vandalism and all that, you know, all the tags and stuff, but it just wanted to liven it up, make it a bit more vibrant. So and then on the strength of how well how that went, the gallery was born. And because it's the Camden Open Air Gallery, it's Camden Open Air Gallery, he wanted local artists to do the first exhibition. Mm. Just so happens that me, PIC, Hito and Form, you know, we're local artists, so
it doesn't get more local than that.
Yeah.
That. And this is where the mighty PIC comes into play. So, dude.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. To lead on from that. So, so Ollie was like, "P, you need to get on this." and I was a bit busy, and then I didn't really get on it straight away.
It was a bit like, is this geezer a rod or a what?
Well, yeah, no, what? No, let's be honest. No, we did. So we had to do some verification checks, you know, and turns out he's a good one. So, because, you know, we're doing something illegal. We've always been a bit illegal. You know, whatever side of the fence you're on, it's you can still go to prison for this shit. So, you've got to be careful who you let into your circle, really, you know. Yeah. So yeah, and that's how it went. So after we'd done some verification checks,
love it.
It's like, yeah, actually this looks good. And then the paint came through, and it's like, okay, the guy's serious. And just took an instant liking, because I'm all about, like, you know, vibration and the feeling, and you know, and he's got, yeah, you know, all that hippie, what'd you call it, hippie trippy shit. Anyway, we took the chance, and you know, he's a good guy. I could feel the vibe was good, and intention was right, and I literally said, like, if there's anything we can do at all to help or make, you know, facilitate something.
What was your first impression of the boys, Finn?
So they all came down. The first time I met you, they all came down at the same time. PRC turned up in your van, and it was kind of like, I had a set of shutters, but we hadn't painted them yet. And it was kind of like picking which shutters they were all going to do. I'm not from this world, I'll be honest. When PRC sent through his piece, didn't even think it was a graph piece. You know, I thought he was just doing like a little love kind of thing. You know, that's how outside of this world I was. But, you know, they you kind of welcomed me in. And, like, all of you helped me out, you know, educated me on what
bit
it
of
is.
Guidance,
you know?
But yeah. So, you know, it worked both ways, because, yeah, like, to have the opportunity to do shutters on the high street and also have the, like, the paint bought for you, I mean, it's like...
Nah, it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend, because it was, like, kind of, like, Seika started one day, and then it kind of went, and then Seiko ended up doing another one. I think that weekend we painted like 5 shutters. Sun was out, wasn't too cold.
Yeah,
this was in March. Mm. Yeah, so that was good.
It was buzzing, like the people walking past and all that, having a few beers, and that people walking past showing enough interest. And yeah, I mean, just it's wicked, mate. Stand there.
The location.
Yeah.
It's
right. You'll be doing it at night time, like looking over your shoulder, just relaxed to be able to do it in the sun with a couple of beers and just the people going, oh, that's wicked, and taking photographs. And yeah,
it's a real movement started, wasn't it? Finn, curiously, like, you really do come at it from a, I have no idea about this scene. You must have opened one hell of a Pandora's box. Like, these two before us are fucking legends, and we'll get into that later, but for real, like, you've just got these two conduits that which must have just blown your mind. I mean, when you look around the exhibition now and all these legends that have, and kings have now and gone, you know, they're so relevant, and yet you must have just had this crash course of
crash course.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm still learning to be, you know, there's a lot of names, a lot of people. But yeah, I really opened up a box about something that I really didn't know anything about. But what I found is it's a group of people, it's a community, they're all stand-up people, they look out for each other. And yeah, they welcome me in, and like, that's why, you know, my main thing is just kind of respecting that culture, because I'm not from it, so I've got to do right by them first. Can I add to that though?
Because what is good? Because you said you know nothing about it, and you're just open and you're willing to, you know, like to learn, and you know the trust values, you know, and all that. It's you know, equally it goes both ways. But yeah, that was nice. Instead of coming in like, I've got this idea, but you're all standoffish. There was none of that, you know, because I felt the vibe off of you, and I'm like, this guy, you know. I felt like I needed to take you under my wing a little bit and sort of give you some guidance.
Nah, massively.
Know?
I mean, you got me out of working in a warehouse. Like, you know, like, yeah.
Like, if got we more look, pressure here, though.
Nah, yeah. Like, if, I got a lot of time for these lot. Throughout this whole process, it's been like, I've got a question, they come and answer it, or they might have a question, and I help them out. But yeah, I remember when I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but when we got the space, Ollie and Hito came down. And I mean, it was properly.
It was a total refurb. It was. I mean, and it was a good 2 or 3 months in the making, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then at first you would, like, the ceilings were coming down. I'm a paint and decorator, so a lot of work has gone into this gaff. There's RSJs and all kinds of shit going on in there, man. So.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is that in the sense that, like, going through that process, you know, getting prints made, getting frames done, all that stuff, getting the artwork in, you know, writing the bios, doing all this bit, and then, they all helped out throughout the whole thing. I wouldn't have been able to pull it off without them.
That's interesting. It's interesting you say that, because when you were putting together the event, and it was literally Shutters as an event, which I might just add, let me just add value to what's going on, what we're talking about here. Shutters is taking what was initially created outside as part of an exercise during lockdown to brighten up the high street of Camden and beyond. You then moved it inside to this venue, and that comes with a whole load of different obstacles. Obviously, the size of the shutters, the artists that are coming onto the shutters. But then the devil in the details, like, what do you put for the blurb of someone like, I don't know, Mean or Zonk? Or, you know what I mean? What do you put in the little bio that sits next to the shutters without implicating them? So much, isn't it?
I'd just like to say also, there's also ordering the shutters, getting the right shutters, cutting the shutters up. I mean, I fucking hate, angle grinders. I hate angle grinders. God bless him. PIC... cut all of these. I just buffed the edges.
The fluffer.
I just fluffed the edges of the shutters with the angle grinder. I don't like, they scare the shit out of me. You know, one little and your fingers are gone. I'd also like to say, I think it's worth explaining that the first exhibition, for some reason, a couple of shops up, Hito done a shutter, and that shop decided to take that shutter down. They were replacing the shutter. Finn, being the entrepreneur that he is, saw the opportunity, grabbed the shutter. They cut it into a few bits. PIC did a throw up on one of those shutters, and they put it in the shop window. And as I understand it, they could have sold that shutter 10 times over. Mm. Hence, Mandem said, let's do a shutters exhibition. So if that shop hadn't have taken down the shutter, then
there was a catalyst of events, and like each one has just seemingly organically moved into the next one, and that's what's really nice about this, because we've never really done it before. I've had a couple of little bits here and there, or whatever, bit of experience in doing something similar, like with the Team Robbo stuff and all that kind of stuff. However, to be right involved from everything is but this was catalyst of events, going back on point, is that if without those, that sequence, we wouldn't be here now. And it's like, looking back on it, it's just like...
And as it turns out, you know, no one's done... It looks like no one's done this before.
No.
So, you know, I can't really say that it was any of us that, you know... It was my idea, this was, you know, but it just... If those events hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened, so...
And then if anyone can prove us wrong, I know there's been some shutters here and there in places, but not an actual pure shutter show, cut to size. I don't think that's been done before. Unless you can prove me wrong, and I'll put my hands up and say, yeah, all right, fair enough. But give me some evidence. But I still stand by it. This is the first London show, first London shutter show, and first shutter show which I know of, possibly in the world. Big things, man.
Yeah.
And that's organically just moved that way, which wasn't even the idea at the beginning. Well, it wasn't an idea. It was just, let's just do some painting.
Barcelona, here we come. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this has certainly got legs in terms of, I mean, Candemonium is your guys' inceptions. Big shout out to everybody else involved, but, you know, as representatives here, explain a little bit of what your vision is, without giving too much away, copyright 2022, Candemonium, anything you want to give away in terms of what your theory
is? Ideas. I don't want to give too much away, because I know there's other people sort of always scrutinising what you're doing, so I don't want to say too much. However, if this works, if it works, it'd be the first of many. brilliant. From our perspective, because it's organically, all we want to do is just bring everyone up with us, you know, and pay homage to those who put their life and liberty on the line. You know, they've been in the game for 30, 40 years, possibly. 100. So it's like, why can't the real people, you know, get somewhere with this? So if we can help facilitate that, that's hopefully the plan. So
who have you got? Explain the writers and who's inside this place at the moment.
Ooh, in this side of this place. I had to get the black book out, and so we've got Excel.
This geezer is an encyclopedia, like from day dot. He knows the names.
We're about to get into that. Don't you worry. I'm doing what you call segueing.
All right. So okay. Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, Excel. So we brought him out to play. Fuel, the mighty Fuel, Prime, you know, New Gun, ST, we've got ACT as well, we've got Jet, we've got 10 Foot, just getting 10 Foot, that was just a whole other story, but that's between us and 10 Foot, that's fine. We've got Diet, we've got Doze, we've got Mel, Teach, Zombie, Mia, oh my gosh, we've got Can, Zonk, Akit, we've got was his name Sabo or Sabo? What do you call him? Sabo. See, I always cock that up. I know it's an S and I know that much. We've got Mean, Grant, and who Chain. Else? Chain. 72, Hito, If, good self, Saker. So, yeah, it's quite a...
Mad.
Kiss 42 and Pixie. Sorry about that, you guys. Absolutely. Oh, wow. Did I say Jet as well? Did I mention
you
Jet?
Mentioned Jet.
So there's some new, there's some old, there's some fresh and some bold.
It is so so broad, like so much, like in one spot. It's
even
hard.
That alone, I think, has never been done. Having like this caliber, you know.
That's what I was. I mean, when I first saw it all up on the wall, I just to see all of these different artists. I mean, some of them haven't picked up a spray can for 25 years, maybe even longer, you know. Mm. But to have all of these different eras of graffiti artists, I mean, all in the same room it's unprecedented as far as I'm aware. Mm. And there's some serious legends in this room.
And the way you guys did it as well, like, it was in a space of 6 days, if that.
Cutting up the... I think that took a week, and then but within a week and a week after that,
5 days, wasn't it? It was 5 days. None of this artwork existed over a 5 day period, and within 5 days we got everyone down and painted within 5 days, and your good self obviously come down and filmed quite a lot of that, which was brilliant. And all the support that you've given us as well,
man, you know, of course,
because we're a new, because this is a new thing. No one really knows about us, so, you know, any decent exposure is good exposure. We haven't got a mailing list as such, you know. This is a new gallery with no mailing list, so we've got the goods. We just need to get the goods out there now. Yeah, you know? And that's the thing. Yeah. And I feel like us as Camdemonium, we should be moving towards that. You know?
Yeah. Got me thinking now. You do know a lot of these characters. You guys have both got histories in graph. DDF, PFB, WRH, WD. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're talking about decades of... I mean, you guys were there from the jump. Pretty much.
Yeah,
between
we've got some pioneers and some them heritage. There's some heritage here.
Yeah.
We've got some raw blood. Raw blood and provenance.
Yeah. Talk to me, PIC, first about the early days, the early era, because I know you were a rap crew before PIC became yourself, right?
I was into graph anyway, being from the area, so I was always like aware of writing on the wall and certain faces with the old skinheads, Invader, Rolo, Polo, Rizzo. These were all names I was looking at anyway. Mm. I actually had a little insignia thing that I'd done. So I was pre-hip-hop, pre-electro. I was already into I was already noticing graffiti. Mm. One particular story, there was this
toy.
Yeah, exactly. Toys have got to start somewhere, you know.
Toys have got to start somewhere too.
Toys got to start somewhere.
This is the banter we love.
No, exactly. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you know, there was old stories that went around, like Invader. It was meant to be this black guy with no legs, and you know.
It wasn't meant to be. Was.
No, exactly. It was like an urban myth. This is the maddest thing. It was an urban myth, but actually, it was true. His brother went to Haverstock, and Shades knew his brother, and so Invader used to come down, and if anyone started on his brother, he would fuck them up at lunchtime or at the end of school. Yeah, so he would literally grab up you and move, like, crawl his way up you and then bust your head up.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was bad.
Ruthless.
I heard that he used to bounce off the floor and like chin people and then like drop them and then just.
Yeah. So this was like the urban weird stories that I knew as a kid. So I already was knew about, you know, I was already interested in graph. And then Partners in Crime came along. Me and my mate was rapping in school. So I was like, my dad said, oh, you two are like Partners in Crime because we was inseparable. Hence, Dad, that's a good name. Took
is that. Is that you nicked your... You nicked your crew name off your old man?
He gave us the name, yeah. Because we was inseparable.
Nothing to do with Subway Art.
No, it wasn't. I only saw that later. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, okay, this is the... this was the stamp. This was the brand.
Yeah.
And because I was into it, I was travelling a lot because I was basically staying down his place a lot. Gary Forbes.
Big up, Gary.
Big up, Gary.
Big
yeah.
up that.
Staying down is a lot, down in Mottingham, which is southeast. So I was getting up, doing the slam doors, leaning outside the slam doors. I was on a mission. So
you really were on a mission. Listen, present company as well. I would. You kinged London. You're the king of London, dude. Innit?
Thank you.
Yeah, one time,
you fucking nailed.
I had a good go. Yeah. Could have done more as well, but I had a good go.
did you used to get sketches off Prime and Robert at one stage?
Because we was in the crew together, so yeah. Prime's given me a couple of outlines and I busted out them. Because I'm the bomber. I've just been a bomber, and that's what I love, just seeing repetition stamp. You know, the brand, that was the brand, you know, putting the brand out there. That was really that's my forte, really. However, you know, because I've never said I'm a piecer, I've never really said I'm an artist, you know, because I'm like, I've seen, like, you paint with Prime and that guy, he's an artist.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I mean? So, I could never put myself in that same bracket, so I had to do other things other way, hence getting up and bombing and made a name for myself doing then and doing it with a bit of style, and I love all that, coming from the hip-hop, the b-boy stuff, so... Yeah, and letters and... But yeah, I've never really been so much as an artist. Got an outline, a couple of outlines off of Prime. Doze has done me a couple of little outlines.
Hold tight, Doze.
We got Doze.
Prime.
Yeah. Never had an outline off Robbo. To be honest, his outlines weren't too tough.
Really?
Okay. I love the man, but he was never been that tough, you know. But he was there and, you know, I got a lot of love for him, you know, still. Bless up, Robbo.
Yeah. WD was very much the West End kind of crew, wasn't it? The party crew.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of got up a lot more because of that in those areas.
Yeah, well, that was the West End in them days. It was crazy. It was the Wild West End. It literally was. So, yeah, it was all load of graffiti guys all bombing. Big up the WD lot.
Smashed mold, Old Street.
Old Street got battered. Yeah.
Dragon Bar,
that was a bit later. But, yeah.
Islington, Old Street, that got smashed.
Yeah, well, you had the problem, you had Drax around there and you had Robbo, that was their station, so that was the hub. It was like a hub, so yeah, that used to get battered. Tufnell Park was another hub, weren't it? That used to get battered. Then you got all the South London sides, you know, Elephant used to get battered and Clapham used to get battered, so yeah.
But... Any fun stories? Any you want to indulge in?
Oh, God.
There we go.
I need more time on that one.
Okay, Saker. So... Tell me about your stories. Tell me about, because you guys seem to be really so tight with each other, like you know each other inside out practically. Talk to me about your journey in graph.
My journey in graph, all right, it's slightly different. Hip-hop, the first kind of generation of hip-hop came over. When I was 11, I started going to school in William Ellis, and you got suspended for breakdancing in the corridors, and we had little crews. We were walking around with a roll of linos and boogie boxes, and you know there was the music, the breakdancing, the graph. Form 72 was in my class.
Whole time.
So we started, like, that's when I first met him, when I was 11. So we started kind of, you know, I've always been a bit of a doodler, and
Didn't you two have a battle though?
Yeah,
no,
that's quite funny because actually he bit my outlines and he burnt me with my own outlines.
I'm going to pass this mic over to PIC on paper form.
He he'll tell you this as well. He pirated my outlines and burnt me with my own outlines. But they were like, yeah. But so,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, I had to interject there. That
we
was
used
a
to go.
Story.
We used to go up to like Covent Garden and like all the Chrome Angel Trailblazers and all that. Mm. I mean, they were just like fucking hell. You know, a few years older than us and just totally in awe. And London Graphics was the only place you could get, you know,
the Bunt Lacks.
Yeah, the Bunt Lacks and stuff. But I can't remember whatever reason. I think I've retired about 7 or 8 times, and then some. It's all a bit blurry. Maybe I started. That's when I started taking mushrooms and going to festivals when I was about 14 or 15, bunking off school, sniffing gas and Tibex thinner. So
we're from Camden. That's what you think.
Yeah. What happened next? I can't really remember. And until I went to Islington Sixth Form, I already kind of knew Mel Bus One. Mm. They introduced me to Car 138, Shoe 2, Sub, to mention a few, XL, Noise, Send One, all that mob. Yeah. So wow. Then I come out of retirement again. Renkar, started writing TKS. That's the first time I went, one of the first and last times I ever went to a train yard because we went to Neasden. It got raided and... I think that was the first time I ever went train yard. It got raided and I totally shat myself. My arsehole went. I ended up hiding in a gravel truck for about 2 hours and I didn't even know where Neasden was, let alone what a train yard was. And I was so after they'd stopped kind of running around going, "We're going to fucking kill you little wankers." And
They terrorised you, didn't they?
I mean, this was literally 2 weeks before Ray's died in the same yard.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks before because that when Ray's had a big chase, which is very similar because they terrorised him as well.
It was a BTP raid for. Yeah. So I mean, that kind of almost put me off yards for life. I mean, insides, bit of bush bombing, insides and street bombing has been more my. And then after that, I think.
What about the Unity Jam?
Then I started raving.
So
I stopped. I retired again.
Yeah.
And then, because I'd met Elk many years before. And he always used to like my characters. He pulled me out of retirement again. He's like, "Here's the Bunt Lack. This is the wall. I want you to put something next to my." So we did a Raze tribute in the Latimer Dump. He did the L piece in up in Fulham.
Fulham, yeah.
Just that was, I think, in the same year. That was his thing.
But he got you back out of retirement.
Yeah. I mean, every time I've forgotten about it, then someone puts a spray can in my hand, and then I'm just like, "Oh, fucking, I love this shit." So there you go. And then, I can't remember my memory's not that great.
No, you've nailed it. You're nailing it, man.
Just more recently, just at the beginning of lockdown again, I think I hadn't painted for quite a while, and I was out with PIC, Hito and Form, and we were up at Broadway Market, this little Hall of Fame up there, and like, you know, they were doing a little bit of graph, and I was just like, "Can I nick a bit of paint off you?" And I did just something, you know, off the cuff, and then...
Here I am again. Hello, me.
I love it. Yeah.
You take little breaks, then you take a little break.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But I mean, every time it's in your blood. Every time you walk, since I first started doing it, every time I walk past a big white wall or a space, I'm like. Where's my pen? I want to put.
Curiously, though, I'm just thinking. Because your guys' intentions from the early doors was to do it for the reasons, you know, for whatever reasons you did as a kid, that slowly changes. You know, the priorities change in life. Your reasons for doing it change, right?
I think ultimately the reasons. I don't know. For me personally. I just like seeing my name. It's one of them, and it's a branding. Dog's pissing, real
ego tripping.
I left the ego at the door a long time ago, but I'm just saying it's what I like and it's what gives me fulfillment. You know, to put it this way, there's advertising. We get subjected to advertising, bombarded with that shit all the time. It's like, hold on a minute, little old me. What about me? I'm gonna have my go on this. So I've always got that kind of, you know, I wouldn't say anti-establishment, but, you know, non-conformist way of looking at things. You know, there's a big world out there, and I'm going to have a little go at it myself. And that's the thing. So it's like the self-drive and the passion. That has never left me.
You do seem like a very self-driven person. I mean, in the short space of time I've known you this year, which is only a year compared to everybody else around the table, I sense a real strength in determination, drive, athleticism.
Well, that's what Hito said to me. He's like, 4 days before this was meant to be, like, launching, he didn't tell me at the time, but at the night of the launch, he said, really, 4 days before this was going on, he just thought it wasn't going to happen. But he didn't want to try and... He's like, where do you get that drive from? And I don't know. I just got determination, grit, determination. And I guess that sorts out... No disrespect to anyone, but that's the difference between people that, you know, do it and don't do it. You know, people that have got that drive to go out and, you know... And most of the people in here have got that drive and determination because they made a name for themselves at certain points. Exactly. You know, like Chain, like finding him, you know, getting him back out. That guy, he was ruthless.
And, yeah, no,
like, you know, I've crazy. Seen, yeah. Like, borderline mental. Like, all of us are borderline not right in the head. No, we're not. But, like, just society and the way they look at us. However, but that drive and that passion, if you can do that, you could put that if you did apply that to a business acumen, you know what I mean? Like, you can make things move, man. You can make things happen. And I guess that's the drive. And... You know, I see this opportunity with Finn and this gallery, and I'm like, you know what? Everything that I've learned so far is building me up to make me ready for this kind of opportunity.
Yeah,
so.
I think I'll pass the mic on to you, Finn, with this question, because I think maybe it's going to be a good opportunity for you guys to kind of talk a little bit about it together. No, I'll pass this one, because I think it'll be really good for conversation purposes to kind of interject on this. Because the landscape of graph, obviously, is... constantly changing and evolving. You know, people think we'd have a podcast in 2021 about it all, an exhibition space about it all, graffiti stores.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What do you see as in like the future of things for as a young man, Finn? Yeah.
For me, if you're looking at like graph, I think it's just the most misconceived thing in the world. Like people just put it down as tagging, and it's not. You know, I'm learning. I still not have the knowledge that like half the people you were chatting about just then. No idea. I go through London now and you can kind of see who's been where and, you know, I kind of link it up. It's an interesting art form, and they risk life and limb, you know, to write their name, essentially.
For no reward.
The reward is obviously seeing your name on a train
financial reward.
It's not a reward that like most people would understand. But I get it. I definitely get the rush from doing it as well. I think that for me is massive. Like, I can see how you can get hooked to that, you know, getting chased, all that stuff. But like graph in general, I think who knows where it will go. Like, I'm gonna try and do my bit to support it. I think this show's got a good like educational value to it. Like, there's lots of people coming in from the street. Like, it's Camden High Street, you get a lot of people who literally know nothing and then say, oh, that's quite cool, you got no idea who this, you know. And even me, writing the bios and, you know, doing all the promo stuff, learning about it, you know, it does change with the times. Like, it's very, like, I don't know, it's on like political, in the zeitgeist, I think is the word. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't. It's an opportunity, and you're having a go, and it's like, you know, just the way it's all organically moving towards, and what's happened so far.
Yeah.
It's like I just feel like I think the planets are all lined up for us at the minute. Because things are just seamlessly just moving and moving forward.
Yeah.
So it seems just right. It's like positively right. I feel that energy is right. You're not jumping on the bandwagon, obviously, and because, you know, a lot of people have done, a lot of people still will do, and they got nothing, you know, don't know anything about anything, but they just see there's a pound note to be earned. So, but that's why I'm like, well, fortunately, we've hooked up.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, hold on a minute, we can give some guidance to tell you who, like, look around us, who are the people that need, you know, hopefully it's the first of many to bring up as well, that, you know, give the people who've paid the dues, you know, give them, you know, about time they should be getting some money, right? Or getting some kind of reward from it, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%. When I look around here right now, I mean, we talk about Unity Jams. I mean, we'll get into that in a second, but this is like a Hall of Fame. Yeah. This,
no, exactly. Yeah.
It's like
this is like a modern day kind of. Well, it's nothing. Of course, like Unity's was like exceptional and amazing event, you know. Yeah. But in the 90s and brought loads of people together. But I mean, this is like the equivalent, if you could, to have I don't know, because I've retired and but as far as I'm aware, to have all of these different like legends, like these names in the same room, like, and which was the same as when I compare it to a Unity, that was, you had all of these different crews and these different artists, like top artists in like painting in the same vicinity. I mean, this is kind of, that's what I'm saying. It's on par. I'm not saying it's the same, but it has that in common with.
Unity Jam was amazing, and big up to Elk for doing all that and putting that on. That's just like a Hall of Fame graffiti jam, and there's been, you know, lots around the country, and it's going all around the world.
Yeah.
But having like the caliber like this in a gallery space, where, you know, where we do it just on the street for nothing, and now like hopefully, keeping these crossed. Someone can see the potential in this, and I keep, you know, envisaging that and manifesting that someone's going to buy the whole collection, because as a collection, the first off collection like this with this caliber, it's peanuts, really. If you took a look at it, the financial thing, if you look at all the money, it's peanuts.
That's my job, really. Yeah. Is like marketing it and selling it, but yeah, I mean, it's got massive potential, because I think, I mean, art, if you look at, you know, Damien Hirst's work, it's not that technical. You know, it's just because other people want to buy it. The value is all associated with what someone's willing to pay for it. But I think graffiti is something that's just been massively overlooked. And you wouldn't have street art without it.
You're the four runners. Without the graffiti boys, like the old school and the pioneers who were the first to paint the trains and all that, you know, without those, then it's paved the way. Everything's been a stepping stone, you know, to where we're at now. And I think this is about time that our culture and our people get some just deserves back. You know?
You said something last week that was quite profound. You said that graffiti was the last form of expressive art that won't be silenced.
Well, exactly. It's what's the word I'm looking for? I just got a brain fart, but yeah.
it can't be silenced.
It can't be silenced, but also it's censored. Mm. You can't censor it. That's the word I'm looking for. And there's a lot of censoring going on around the world.
It's non-conformist, isn't it? It's non-conformist. It's, I mean, you can't censor it unless, well, you can if you go wake up, you know, you get the jet wash on it, or the next day. But yeah, I mean, generally, you know, it's quite a good way to get your message out. Or just, if you're just putting your name up, just to say, you know, to the, you know, to whoever.
You
just
put two things up there for those listening.
This is illegal. I don't give a monkeys. You know what I mean? It's like, and also scribbling your name everywhere and seeing your name up everywhere is also quite nice.
Does that ever leave you guys? Does like the, because you know you're the buck stops with you. PIC, it stops with you. I've gone through racks of fucking rockinthecity.coms, and you were there, early bird.
Yeah.
Does that ever leave you?
Nah. Yeah, once you... Well, there was a point... quite a funny story, actually. It was one time when I got nicked. This was like late 80s, and I was all a bit cocky, big ego, and I said cockily to my old man, I was like, Dad, you just don't understand, like, giving it the large. And he was like, I understand. If he was robbing a bank and getting some money, I'd understand. And then he proceeded to strangle me like a rag doll and throw him up a little flight of stairs. So he didn't get it, because it's all like his thing is like, it's a monetary thing. If you're not getting a pound note, son, you're risking your life and liberty for what, you know? And it is. It's slightly unhinging, especially for your parents, thinking, what is this about?
That's why a lot of people don't understand it.
What
are you getting out of it?
But what I was trying to, in my cocky way, what I was trying to say was, when you make a name for yourself and it's off your own back, it gives you so much pride that you're doing this all on your own. No one's giving you any link-ups or nothing. You're doing this all by yourself. Mm. And if you can do that, and then you're making, you know, you become a bit infamous. You know, you're making a name for yourself, like literally. Mm. There's that sense, and that's the drive that got me. And that's why it's like once you've done it, once you get past, you normally get like a 2-year stint. So, you know, 15, 16, you do it for a couple of years, you might get nicked and then you get into something else, drugs, party and whatever. Mm. And that's it, you've done 2 years. That's
your story of my life.
So that's generally what happens. That's the cycle. That's the cycle of it. So you normally get 2 or 3 years. Someone's in it for 2 or 3 years. They come in, make a big statement, bam, bam, bam. They get up and you're like, oh, wicked. Can they sustain that? Do they sustain that? Now, there's only a few people that do that. And you know, there's that. So once you get over that 3-year hurdle, I would say, then you've got it in your blood. And then that sorts out, you know, the wheat from the chaff, as they say, kind of thing. And yeah, and then you're like, oh, you've got longevity, and then next minute 10 years has gone, and 2 decades have gone, next 3 decades have gone, you're like, fucking hell.
Where did Will go?
Am I getting this old, really? It's like, yeah.
But again, just to come back to the now and looking at it, there's a lot more opportunities for young people to get involved in the, you know, having an exhibition space in itself. Although there is a route to passage and you do have to cut chops, you do have to earn those stripes.
Exactly.
At least it's nice to know that in 2021, 2022, whenever you're checking this, that there is opportunities out there that have been laid down by the likes of yourselves,
hopefully,
guys.
Hopefully this inspires people, you know. This is like, so it isn't graffiti, it isn't just a dead end thing. Yeah. And that's what it's been labelled as, you know. We've always been classed as the vandals or the scum, basically. Mm-hmm. And we've always been, that's always been how it's been, okay? Within the news, within the society, that's always, you know. And then it's only been the last 10 years, for someone I won't mention the name, but he changed the public's perception, which I take my hat off to him for that. So that was a big thing. And, you know, it is an art form. Not only is it an art form, you've got to be like, you know, if you're going to paint a train, not only are you painting a train, but you've got to get in and get out without being seen. So you've got all that, okay? And then, you know, you're risking your life and your liberty. There's so much that goes with it.
It's deep as shit.
Which is not just painting now. This has gone beyond. This is like you're breaking and entering. You know, you're doing it stealth. You know, in the old days, it was scanners. You had people like, you know, we had to be on point. Now, you could do a heist with this information or this kind of logic and mentality. Yeah. You could do some serious stuff. And a lot of people did, and they went down that road, and they went like the bad path and the dark path, and they started doing, you know, naughty stuff like that to earn a pound note, because graffiti wasn't going to give you that. It wasn't going to give you a monetary thing. So if this, where we're at now, inspires people to actually, this is a good thing, you know, this is a movement, and we've got some really good people within this movement, and this is subculture, people need, you know, people are starting to know and hopefully respect it and understand it more.
I'd just like 100. To say, I mean, obviously, up in like Shoreditch, East London, there's been other galleries that have put graffiti artists. They've done graffiti exhibitions.
Yeah.
One thing is, no one's done a shutters. That, no one's done the shutters painted on shutters, and no one's also had like the caliber of these artists, and also the different the generations, the old school and the new school kind of you know major hitters. Also, another aspect is there's never been a professional gallery in Camden like this either.
Full stop. Yeah, that's right.
Which came about from the, you know, Finn's like original kind of just wanted to brighten up, you know, when he looked out the window, he just wanted to liven up the street. I don't know if he had a business plan then or it was just something, you know, but anyway, the gallery, having a gallery in Camden is nothing like that. And I've lived around there my whole life. As far as I can remember, there hasn't been a gallery like to this standard, you know, a proper gallery in Camden. So,
Yeah, man.
Exactly. You did. You stuck it right in there.
And don't be falling over me. I'm falling off now. I'm waiting. You know what I mean? These wheels on these seats are moving. I'm out. I'm out the door. With spokespersons like yourselves, boys, it's a real thing. I know. You know. I'm speaking for years here, but it's a luxury to have such an array of artistry, plus have the voices that allow to explain the stories behind these guys. Where can we get the information, Finn? Tell people where it's at.
All on Instagram. Come check us out. It's at CamdenOAG, or check out the Camdemonium boys at Camdemonium Collective.
Yeah.
You know, get their following up. Their new thing. It's born out of this.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Without a doubt.
So get following them. And then on our website, CamdenOpenAirGallery.com. But all the info's there, but mainly you've got to come down and check it out. You've got to come have a look. We've got some stuff coming for Christmas.
So we'll be staying open a bit longer. What's happening? What's the good news? What's the good news?
Well, firstly, before we get onto that, we've got to say thank you to Mark.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Sorry
Mark
about all
that. At Graphic Maker. Like, he was meant to be doing a Christmas show, but he's very kindly let us extend because it's been getting a lot of love. So big ups to him.
This, by the way, is Christmas 2021. If you get here at Christmas 2023, it's definitely not here.
yeah, but the good news is we will be extending the show all the way through till January the 10th, right? So you've got a long old time to come down and see it. Alongside that, we're going to have some little projects coming. We've got a few nice ideas. But we're going to try and make it like a bit more of a hub, get people down, get people coming to see it, come see the history. Also,
yeah, you got the workspace out the back, yeah, haven't you? As well,
it already seems to be coming, organically becoming a hub in it with, like, you know, yeah, like the Mere MapCon and all that kind of thing going on here. And I think there's going to be book launches potentially. Crossed, yeah. There's going to be, you know, affordable. There's going to be signings and, you know, like a writer's bench type thing going on. All that.
Don't tell all the ideas, bruv.
Yeah,
hold on.
We've got our side. We've got some.
You can
cut
that.
If it's a secret. Nah, it's all good. We got some good things coming. But come down and meet me. Come meet everyone who works here. Oh, I've got to say thank you to them as well for keeping the shop open, man. They've helped me out. It's been wicked.
With that question, this place feels like the home of, and I said it at the top of the show, because it feels that way. It's filled with love, filled with dream, and filled with truth. It's almost like a beacon. If you look out close enough, you'll see the bat sign. Do you know what I mean?
Well, like the bat sign. Like.
Yeah, it's the home. It's where everything is at the moment, and may it remain so for a good while, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Killer Keller podcast.
Thank you. Woo, yeah, cheers, Keller. Yeah, man. Thanks for giving us the time, man.
All day.
This,
nice, man. My gang, yes.
Yeah.
Big up Finn, big up PIC, big up Saker. Honestly, the legacy in here is crazy, and I hope you enjoyed it. A little something different for your Thursday morning, you know what I mean? Anyway, we're out like it was out of fashion. Big up, boys, you stay lucky yourselves.
Nice one.
We're out like it was out of fashion. Don't talk to anyone, I wouldn't, all right? Stay lucky, people. Peace.